Hi, I'm Mark Goodfellow. I'm the lead elder of Church on the Way. I want to introduce us as a church to you, who we are. I want to tell you that we love the Lord Jesus Christ and we want to make him known throughout the earth. We want to work with God the Holy Spirit as he leads us and guides us in endeavoring to do this. We want to just tell you that we're a family that works together. We're united as one. We're on a journey to fulfill the purposes of God in our life. And we encourage you as we have this pioneering heart to go to the nations and to preach this gospel, not only in our nation of South Africa, but the nations of the earth, to reach out with the good news that we find in Jesus Christ. So in this process, we really do believe that we are a church on the go. We're on this journey, this adventure together. We don't have all the answers, but we do know who has the answer, and his name is the Lord Jesus Christ. So come and join us as we work together and we work on this journey to fulfill his plans and purposes for our lives. God bless you.
Father, we worship you in the name of Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for the opportunity that we've been able to bring song before you this morning. But we lift your name on high. Lord, we turn and fix our eyes upon Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. Lord, we have no other hope, no one else that we trust in but you. And you're our glorious God, and you're the one that saved us. And we come to rejoice here this morning. We lift your name on high. We praise you, exalt you. We join with the angels. We join with the saints that gone before us. And we exalt you and honor you. Lord, we put on our priestly garments as the royal priesthood even this morning and honor you and glorify you. You are worthy to be praised. There's no one in all creation that compares with you. You are the one that is almighty, majestic and powerful, invincible. That's who you are, and we glorify you. Not only are you the creator of the heavens and the earth, but you dwell within us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Be glorified in our midst here this morning, Lord. Take up your rightful place. Will you come and encourage us as we fix our eyes upon you? May your word come, Lord, and challenge us and take us deeper and further into what you have for us now. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. We're just going to take a time to just wait upon the Lord if you have a prophetic word. Thank you, worship team. Sally, if you want to come and share, if you just have a sense or something that God wants to just share with us, come and share with us, please.
This morning I saw the cross, and as I contemplated the wonder of it and all that it meant to each of us, it became the four points of the compass, and I sense strongly that God is saying to us, my people, as you cling to the cross and contemplate the empty tomb, a new dynamic is birthed in you. I have plans for you that will prosper you and not harm you. Your feet are planted on the narrow way, the ancient way. And as you mine out my purposes and plans and adhere to them, you will find a strength and joy that will enable you to put aside temptation and wandering. You will learn to trust me and build a history with me, which will enable you to navigate the tough times and rocky terrain, knowing full well that we have successfully come through such circumstances before and can do it again. The cross and the empty tomb are my total provision for you, and you have the word as your blueprint. Let us embark.
Amen. Thank you, Sally. Let's hear what the Lord is saying to us. Brad?
So this morning in the prayer meeting outside, I was just sharing about us doing the work of the Lord. And as we step forward, we don't always see what effect we have in people's lives. And we don't always see the effect we have for the kingdom of the Lord. And he just showed me an image after that. And I saw this massive field filled with dead flowers. And as I was walking through, or as we were walking through this field, if you looked left or you looked right, you could not see the change that was happening. But when I turned around, the change was moving at a slight angle, but it was just going out and filtering all the way to the corners of the field. And that change that was having an effect was the growth in the flowers. The flowers were starting to flower. They were green. They were colorful. And we don't always see the effect we have, but as we move forward in faith and as we do the work of the Lord, bit by bit, piece by piece, we have a change, we have an effect. And you know what? It's not for us to see what effect we're having, but it's for us to be obedient in faith in the work that he's placed before us.
Amen. Thank you, Bradley. Thank you, worship team. Well, it's a cold day, and you all seem frozen. So you want to get up and greet those neighbors around you and say hello to them this morning. Let's not be the frozen chosen here this morning. Let's greet one another in the name of the Lord. Thank you, worship team. It's been good to be together again. Amen. Let's pray before we embark on what the Lord has for us this morning. Father, we just thank you that you are, whenever we meet in the name of Jesus, there you are in the midst of them. And thank you that you're in the midst of us. And I just thank you, Lord, that you've come to encourage us, to give us, open up our eyes. Maybe we are looking down at this point in time and we need to look up. Open up our eyes, Lord, to see you, that not only would we have hope, that we would know that we have a future in you, and that you've given us everything, as Sally encouraged us through that prophetic word, Lord, through the cross and the empty tomb, that you are the resurrection and you are the life, and that you've given us life eternal, and to that we are eternally grateful. And we are so thankful that this morning that you're going to just take us further and deeper into all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today's a bit of a family meeting. And to discuss in the title is Thanksgiving and Vision. And we get to a time of the year, and I know we've all been busy and there's been lots been going on in our lives. And it's just a time that we need to give thanks to God and with some testimonies. And I just want to paint a picture of vision, not only just vision for the church, but for us individually, what God has for us. And just want to really encourage you today. It's as Quinton just alluded, there's been another announcement about COVID. We've got to have hope, folk, because we are the light of the world. We cannot be in a place today that we get so disheartened. The world is looking at us, and we've got to be the light to this thing. And as much as we live in the world, I really want to encourage you today that God would strengthen those feeble knees that you have, your weak hands, and that you would go forward in him today. So the scriptures I just want to just go through just to encourage us as we go into this time of Thanksgiving and vision. Hebrews 13, verse 15. Through him, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name, a sacrifice of praise. Let's continue to be thankful in these circumstances. In the prayer meeting on Wednesday night, we were praying about this COVID thing, and I got into a place, well, I'm going to take authority over this thing, and I took authority over the thing, and dear Rhonda came and said, the Lord just says to me, let's be thankful in all circumstances. And well done, Rhonda, because it is truth, is that yes, we do take authority, but let's be grateful that God is still on the throne, he's in charge of our lives, and nothing's taken him by surprise, and he always works all things for the good. Even though we go through bad stuff, he always works things for good. So I want to encourage us, it's a time to praise the Lord. Honestly, it's a time to do not get despondent with those news reports, what's actually happening at this point in time, even with the weather that might feel let you down. Let's bring a sacrifice of praise before the Lord. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. A secret, let's be thankful in these times. And then Proverbs 29 verse 18 in respect to vision, where there's no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint, but blessed is he who keeps the law. And in the New King James, it says, where there's no revelation, people cast off restraint. And then Hebrews 12 verses 1 to 2, Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Fix our eyes upon Jesus. Let's not fix our eyes upon the world and what the world has to offer. Let's fix our eyes upon Jesus. So as we come to a time of Thanksgiving, I just think it's so important as families, God has taught us to be grateful. We say thanks, we say grace for our food. We teach our people, our children, to say please and to say thank you. And some of those graces have been lost. And even in the church, we get to a place where we're not grateful anymore. We have an expectation. Can I just say there's something of an entitlement that sometimes even comes to us. And God wants us not to be like that. He wants us to be humble before him, because when we get entitled, what is the root of entitlement? Pride. And pride comes before the fall. And I don't want us to ever be in that position, especially as God's people and as us people here at Church on the Way. I want to be in a place of thankfulness. So I just want to take a time of being thankful to God in this season. Even though it's been a tough season in the world and what we're facing, and you might be going through tough things even you, but let's be grateful to God. And I just want to just turn to our Father and to our Lord and to the Holy Spirit and just say thank you to them for what they've done for us. Let's pray. Father, where do we start? How can we give you thanks for what you've even done before we even knew you? You found us. And before we were even born, you went to a cross and you died for us, and you paid the price for our sin. And not only for our sin, that you gave us eternal life. And Lord, where we find ourselves living life as you live your life in and through us, Lord, we want to be in a place that we don't want to be in a place of just expectation, but a place of gratitude and a place of thankfulness. And Father, on behalf of all of us here this morning and those online and part of this family at Church on the Way, we want to come with gratitude in our heart to you, and we want to say thank you to you for all that you've done for us and what you are doing for us. Where would we be without you? And we want to just say, as we humble ourselves before you, Father, thank you. Thank you for all that you've given us. Whatever we have, whether little or much, we want to just say we are so grateful for what you've given us and what you're doing in us, where we would be apart from you. So all praise and all glory to you as we found ourselves in Christ our Lord and by the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we bring glory to your name today as we say thank you to you. And Father, we want to just say thank you that you are in control. You're in charge of us. You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. You're ruling and reigning over us, and we would have it no other way. We don't want to be independent of you. We want to be so dependent upon you. We want to walk in this oneness, walk in this unity before you. We are so grateful. And Lord, I know there's testimonies, and the testimony is going to come now, how faithful you've been to us during this year, how you've shown us your way, even through the tough times. Lord, you have been there for us. And we, again, with gratitude in our hearts, we want to just say thank you first to you. We want to be what that scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God and your righteousness, then all these things shall be added to you. We want to be like those lepers that only one came back to say thank you to you. But Father, we come back to you today as a family here at Church on the Way, as individuals. We want to say thank you to you for all that you've done for us, for the blessings that you've given us, for the health that you've given us, for the provision in every single, even at times when we looked and there seems to be nothing, how good you have been to us. And all praise and all glory to you now in the name of Jesus. Amen. Just in part of that of testimonies, I've asked some folk to come and give some glory to God through what they've done. I'm going to ask Bob to come, and if anyone in their heart has something in their heart, they want to just give glory to God and thank him. So Bob, if you want to just come and share with us what God has been doing in your life and just the wonderful testimony of his goodness and his grace. And just in your heart, if you have something else that you just want to give God glory and just give thanks, just come and share with us. We would love you to do that. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks, Mark. Can everyone hear me fine? Okay, so Mark asked me to share with you guys, and Mark came to me and he said, Bob, do you mind sharing your testimony of what God has done in your life for you? So, Mark, how many Sundays do I have? And Mark said, Listen, try and keep it to 2 to 3 minutes. So for those of you that don't know me, I'm Bob. I'm gonna leave it there because 2 to 3 minutes not even enough time to give you my full names. What I want to share with you is the most recent story, because God's been amazing, and God's good all the time. But what I want to share with you is the last encounter I've had where God was very present in my life and in Mal's life. I've got a younger brother, seven years younger than me, very successful, works basically all the time. He's got a beautiful family, wife Taryn, and a one-year-old son, Joshua. And because of mistakes that he's made and working all the time and really just focusing on the wrong stuff and losing focus, he's come to a place where he's decided to divorce his wife. And they've been married for just over a year, and little Josh was then just younger than a year. And obviously myself and Mal played a big role in their life. My brother spends a lot of time with me. And we didn't agree with this whole thing. And because of it, a lot of distance came between myself and my brother. And he stopped visiting us. And just things didn't go well there. And one day my brother phoned me and he said, "Listen, I want you and Mal to come past my house to meet this new girl." And I battled with it. It was the 24th of October, and myself and Mal came to church first, and then the plan was to go visit them after church. And I was worried, because those of you who know me know that I'm an aircraft technician, and by nature, I love fixing things. I just want to fix everything. So same with my brother's relationship. I didn't agree with him getting divorced. I wanted to fix that. And because of me trying to fix that, I actually created space between myself and my brother. And we were going now to his new place in Pretoria to go meet the new girl that he's with, which I don't agree with. And I said to Mal, "Listen, another thing you guys need to know is my family's Afrikaans, so it does get rough now and then, okay?" And I said to Mal, "Listen, you need to be patient with me. Even if things get physical today between myself and my brother, just, I'm sorry, okay?" I was very nervous about this encounter with my brother and the decisions that he's made. And you know what? In our heads, this divorce already happened, but they weren't divorced yet. And he was with this new girl or whatever. And that day, Mark preached about putting confidence in the flesh. And I was very challenged. I actually came up to Mark afterwards. I said, "I don't know why all of you oaks were here," because he was only talking to me. And it was like Mark said to me that morning, "Listen, but don't go there in your own strength. Don't go there and do things the way you think you need to fix them. Or don't go there and think, you know what, that's what came to my mind. I'm going to go there. I'm going to represent God in his righteous way. And that's why I have to stand up for what's right." And then I come to church and Mark says, "Turn the other cheek." And I was very challenged by that. But you know what? When we left church, we went to my brother and I said to Mal, "Today I'm just going to do things different, you know. I'm not going to be myself. I just want to relax and show them love." And you know what? We got to my brother's house. I could see he was very nervous about this. My dad was nervous. There was this tension in the air between all of us. Not a lot of words spoken. And it got to a stage where the opportunity presented itself for me to be my normal self and just fight this whole thing. And you know what? I decided I wasn't going to fight it. And I just said to my brother and to my dad, I love you. I love you guys. I really do. Just please understand that I love God more. And I love his righteous way more. And I don't agree with what's happening here. But it's not for me. God will soften your heart. God will work on you. And my parents had lunch. They left. Myself and my brother had a great time because we weren't letting all of this stuff get between us. And you know what? Just before we left, he said to me, Bob, I wish I can have what you have. And sorry, I'm getting a bit emotional, yeah. And I said to him, you know what? But you do have that. Your choices have, you've lost focus on what you actually have. And you do have that. Just, you need to make right with God. And that Monday morning, he phoned me. He said, listen, brother, I need to come see you. Now, normally I would tell him that he's wrong and tell him the ways of God and he's not following that. And I'd be quite aggressive towards him. And you know what? This time I just did it differently and I allowed God to work in that. And he saw that. And actually, he saw the love that I have for my family and that, and God working on his heart. Sometimes we want to do things in our own power and in our own ways, but it's so foolish because God's got such a better way. I mean, it's like saying, God, don't worry, I can deal with this in a better way than you can. I mean, that's we do it, but it's dumb. And that Monday morning he came to see me, and I said to him, listen, you need to go speak to her. You need to go speak to Taryn, your wife. You need to tell her what you've done. You need to tell her about your mistakes. You need to make right with God. And then you can move forward and you can have what I have. And he actually said to me, Bob, I can't tell her those things that I've done. I said, Heinrich, stop hiding behind your sin. Tell her. And he said to me, listen, if I tell her, I'm going to lose her forever. I said, then be it. But you need to confess. You need to confess your sin. You need to make right with God. And you know what? He went to go see her, and I'm happy to say today they are back together. They're not carrying on with the divorce. And, yeah, that's a beautiful family that got saved. And all the honor to God and all the glory to God. But what I want to say today is sometimes we need to just really step back and allow God to work in situations the way he needs to work on it and the way, it's a difficult thing because in the beginning I thought, you know what, I am standing up for God because I'm standing up for what's right and I'm fighting them for what's right. That's me doing God's work. Sometimes we just need to hear God's voice, sit back and let him actually do the work. And it's been so amazing. And thank you guys for letting me share this. And sorry took a little bit more than your 2 minutes.
He's a preacher in the making. Well done, Bob. That is very encouraging. You know, it's the grace of God. It's not what we can do. It's what God can do, how powerful and mighty he is. That was a situation that was headed for disaster. And God redeemed it, and he's still the redeemer today. Anyone else that wanted to share and just give thanks to God? Thanks, Don.
Wanting to write the scripture that I want to. Somewhere. Hi, guys. I will be 2 minutes. I'd be on the guitar and a mic. I'm not a preacher at all. But just over 2 weeks ago, a week and a half ago, I had a a nose operation, a sinus operation. And so if I sounded like Britney Spears this morning, it's that's the reason why. Yeah, it was Wednesday. Wednesday a week ago, I had the sinus op. And I came home that night, and I literally had no sleep the whole night. I was bleeding out my nose and going on. And I had not 1 minute of sleep. I actually realized I can't breathe through my mouth when I sleep. So every time as I fell asleep, I'd wake up, and that was me the whole night. Next day, I managed about an hour's sleep, if that. The Thursday night, I had no sleep. The Friday, I managed, again, maybe an hour in the day. The Friday night, I had half an hour sleep. So I was averaging about half an hour sleep a night, and I was like, I think on the Friday night, I was just about crying out to God, just let me sleep, I can't anymore. And it was tough, and the actual op was at a pain of about 2 out of 10, a bit of discomfort of about 32 out of 10. So it wasn't like, and I really couldn't breathe, and I couldn't, and I, main thing was asleep. I just couldn't not carry on. I was just sleeping like this. And just now I've lost it. Anyway, in our home group and our cell group, and we've been studying the book of James. And at the end of James 5, it's quite clear. It says that if any of you are sick, call on your elders to pray over you and anoint you with oil. And we actually hadn't even studied that part in the home group. We were on James 3, I think, but I'd been studying the whole of James, and that came to mind. So I phoned old Uncle Arvin up, and I said to him, this is what the word says. It says, call your elders to come pray over you and anoint you with oil. I said, I need you. And Arvin, he actually had plans that often. I think he was meant to come to your house. And then he said, no, look, Lynn came home, and the two of them discussed, and they said, no, the right thing to do is come and pray for me. So they came over to my house, and they prayed for me. Arvin anointed me with oil, and they prayed. And from Saturday night, I've been sleeping right through the night. So just this was just an encouragement testimony that, follow the word. There's sometimes, I did pray. For 3 nights, I prayed, to sleep, and I never prayed. And I don't think, sometimes God wants to teach us little lessons in that. And to me personally, I think God was saying, follow my word. We know God's a healer. He can heal whenever he wants to. This is one of countless testimonies I can give. I think in this instance in my life, God wanted me to follow what the word said, and he took me straight to that chapter. It was, get your elders to pray for you, anoint yourself with oil. And I followed, I listened, and I've been sleeping since. Amen. So that's it. Thanks.
Well done, Donovan. The word is true, and God honors his word, absolutely. Anyone else got a test to me before we continue? Okay. I just want to just say that from our side, from Nikki and myself's side, just a testimony for this year. It's been a tough year. We've never walked this road before, I think, with the COVID and the things that have happened this year. But I want to just say God is good. In spite of all these things, and I don't know what your doctrine and your theology is about suffering, but suffering's a reality. You will go through many trials when you follow the Lord. And this last year has been one of that. But God has been good, and God has been faithful. And I've seen God's grace as never before. And I want to just say, in the life of the church, the grace of God. And I think that's the testimony that we're actually hearing. When we let go and let God do his work in and through us, there's an incredible testimony of grace. And you go and read the epistles, it's always, may the grace of God be with you, with your spirit. And there's just something of that we got to grasp in the season. We're not law-bound. It's the God's presence and his goodness towards us. And then also one of the things that I found, I want to give thanks to God, is there's something, and we alluded to, it's the anointing, God's presence, that does these things through you. And whatever you find yourself in, your work environment, your home environment, whatever you are facing, trust in his anointing, because we have received that in 1 John. It talks about you have received this anointing from God, and allow that, because it's a reality, God's presence, Christ within you, allow that to work through you in this season. And I want to just say, as we find ourselves with circumstances changing, God is sovereign in all these things. And out of that, he reveals himself to us. He wants to use all these things to reveal himself to you. So may you not get despondent in this time. May you continue to be thankful. May you continue to glorify him. You know, David, in his worst time that he ever found himself, you know, David was a sinner like all of us. And he did some really bad stuff, adultery and murder and all those things. But you know what? He never forgot. And he never missed out. He never forgot to worship and praise God. That thing is something that we've got to carry in our hearts where we find ourselves. So don't let your guard down and give in thanks to God in all circumstances and praise him. The Psalms are there for us to just remind us. Sunday morning is good, but it's better for you individually to praise God and worship him in spirit and in truth. So I just want to, at this time, just give thanks. And if I exclude you, my intention is not to do that. But I want to just say thank you to every one of you as you've been part of this family, as you've served the Lord. You may not have received the acclamation from us. You might not even said thank you to you behind the scenes. But we want to just say thank you in every area. We just want to say thank you to all the areas. I might miss out something. Please forgive me if I do. I want to say thank you to the children's church. I know they're busy up there at the moment. Those that are sacrificially giving themselves. Those that work with the youth. The worship team. The sacrifices that God's made, the music, the AV, the media, with the stuff we don't know, the time that they give to it. Those that do hosting and hospitality, the screening, the cafe area, the prayer groups that pray, we don't even know, during the week, that are praying. They're praying for us as a church, praying for us as leaders. Oh, just thank you for doing that for the Lord. Those who run life groups and those who attend life groups, well done. Just keep up the good work. That's where God's hand of grace is. The other areas where we have special focus is the women of worth, whether they have run through their journeying on the way, the men's connect, the business connect, Mother Hubbard's cupboard, the discipleship group, the visitation groups, to the staff, to Robbie and Miriam and Bongani, to the deacons, to the elders. And if I've forgotten anyone, I just want to say a big, big thank you to all of you. The outworking of the kingdom of God is always team. It's never an individual. It's all of us working together. And maybe you haven't been involved as much as you'd like to be, but I want to just say, let's be servant-hearted. Let's continue to do what God's. And I want to just say to you, there is a reward. And you might not get it here on earth, but there definitely is a reward in heaven as you serve the Lord and do his things going forward. So thank you to all of you. Amen. Then I want to get into the vision and just talking about vision of where we are as a church and how we're going forward in this season. And I want to just remind you, what is the vision of the church? It's to know our Lord Jesus Christ and to make him known and go and partner with the Holy Spirit. And that's such a key thing that we continue to focus in our lives, that, you know, you might get into the detail of life and get into all the things that you want to do, but get to know our Lord Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 1, 2, in the old NLT, it says, may God bless you with his special favor and wonderful peace as you come to know Jesus, our God and Lord, better and better. And if there's anything I can encourage you as a vision to go forward personally, get to know your Lord Jesus better and better. And I don't know, you've got to measure your barometer. You've got to see where you are in your relationship with God. And I'll ask you a very hard question with you today. I'm not asking you how's your Bible study, how's your attendance of church, and how's the attendance of prayer meeting. How is your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? And that barometer, if it's low, sort it out. Because it's the key of life. It's knowing the Lord Jesus Christ. Because he comes to dwell inside of us. And if he's become dormant and you're just living life and he's just on the mantelpiece and he's there to shine that I'm a Christian, I'm telling you, you're not living life. And I tell you, the vision has always got to be about Christ and knowing him and him working his life in you. And I really want to encourage you, and I'm going to talk a bit later about this thing, is that we've got to seek the Lord with all our heart. We've got to seek him with all our heart. And I know we've been busy. All of us have been busy. I'm included. And there's things that we get robbed of, spending time with Jesus. And, you know, and the problem is also happens here, you get tired, your flesh, your body gets tired, and then you're not open to actually spend time with the Lord. And this is not about works. It's God who wants a relationship with us, and it takes effort to do the thing. And I want to encourage you, the church is slowing down over this next while, but make sure, folk, that it's not just pleasurable times as you rest. It's not just the movie and on TV or doing things or the picnic or the cycle or whatever. Make sure you spend time with the Lord. And I'm not saying time just to spend time with Him, but go and enjoy Him. Enjoy Him, because this is God Almighty who loves you so dearly. Find the joy again. If you've also on the barometer, just check your joy. If your joy has been robbed, something's wrong. At times this year, my joy has been robbed. There's been something wrong. Why? Yes, there's been attacks and stuff like that, but we've got to get back to that. Cannot remain. Count it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds. Philippians tells us to rejoice always. Cannot lose our joy. Cannot lose our joy in this time. And I want to just really encourage you, get to know your Lord Jesus Christ. And when you get to know Him, you'll make Him known to others and partner with the Holy Spirit. We're not in this to do things. We are to be in Christ. And that's why I really just want to encourage you here today, is may your vision be our vision in the thing. May it not be anything else. Yes, you've got stuff to do. The kids are studying. We all got things in our work life. Children are growing up and life is changing and moving homes and all those things. But I want to just say the reality, let's get to know Him better and better. And then just wanted to paint a picture about the world and where has it come from, the church. And I read an interesting thing by Dr. Martin Lloyd-Jones. He wrote this many, many years ago, but I want to read it to you about the church and how the church actually works. The long history of the church can be put into a form of a graph. It starts there at Pentecost in what may be described as a mighty revival. After a lapse of time, you remember, the power appeared to have passed and the church went down into a trough. The devil and the world were attacking, and everything seemed to be lost. The church had no authority, no power. Men became desperate. Suddenly God pours out His Spirit again. There's a mighty revival, and the church is lifted up to the very crest of the wave once more. This is how the history of the church has progressed. It has been a steady level. We might wish it be like that, but it has never been so. It has always been this up and down. The ups are the revivals and the pouring forth of the Spirit. Under such mighty outpourings, men have testified that they have learned more about God and the Lord Jesus Christ in an hour in a meeting during a revival than they had learned in a lifetime of Bible study and reading theology. At the same time, men and women who had hitherto belonged to the world and who had never heard the gospel before seemed to be put into the same position immediately. So what I'm saying to you, the world is in this ups and downs when we measure it from the Spirit. And my estimation of where we are at the moment, we're in a trough. There's a low in the world, and God needs to pour out His Spirit. Why? To revive you, to revive me, and to revive this world, because we need the outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I want to just say that may in the season that we find ourselves, yes, God encouraged us there to be fruitfulness in the next season, but we need to pray. If you don't ask, you don't receive. And I want to say, yes, the promise is in Joel that the Spirit of God will be poured out upon all flesh, but we need to be asking God, and I'm asking you to ask the Lord to pour the Spirit of God upon you and others. We need revival, folk. And revival is not just the manifestations of healings and all these mighty miracles. Revival is you when you get to know Christ. And will you pray for yourself that revival will come, that your fire of God will come again? Smith Wigglesworth says, give me a man not born again and filled with the Spirit, but give me a man or a woman that is hungry and thirsty for God. And I'm telling you, the season that we've living in has robbed us of being hungry and thirsty for God. We don't seek Him anymore. TV. Entertain. I'm guilty. We don't seek after the Lord. And I want to encourage you, if we want revival, we must pray for revival, that truly that there be this work of grace in our lives. Do you know our Father answers our prayers? He answers our prayers. But you have not because you ask not. And I don't want us as a church to be in a place that we've never asked God for revival. And I believe it's the answer to this world. It's an answer to South Africa. It's to all the problems. Yes, we can pray against corruption. We can pray for a new government. We can pray for the economy to improve. We can pray for prosperity to come. It's not going to change the heart of man. It's when revival comes and God needs to pour out his spirit. Can we move the hand of God? Yes. Is his timing perfect? Yes. But if we ask not, we have not. And I want to really encourage you, this season is a vision made, not just be get to know the Lord, but will you pray? Will you pray? And will you ask for revival that God will pour out his spirit? And Father, we just, as we stand together as your people here this morning, we realize there's no other answer but a fresh outpouring of your spirit to revive us as a church, to revive us as individuals, to revive our nation, to revive this world, Lord. When we see the chaos out there and we see the despair and the hopelessness, Lord, you are the only answer. You have provided for these things, but Lord, we need a fresh move of your spirit. And today we ask in the name of Jesus and believe in the name of Jesus, Father, you will to pour out your spirit. And we just thank you for that ahead of time, Lord. Your timing is perfect, but Lord, we believe, we receive, and we give you all the thanks and all the praise now. Thank you for reviving us, that Christ might find his fullness in our lives now. In Jesus' name, amen. Just to report back on Church on the Way and what has happened in this season. What has happened? There's been some good things that happened under COVID. We've gone online. We've got three workers online, and we've had to update our computers and cameras and all that. And you know what? We're reaching the world. Yes, many churches are doing that. We've been able to do that. So it's not the best, but it's been wonderful that we've been able to do that. And thank you to all those that involved, especially Sean. I want to just say thank you to that. What has happened also here, I believe, in this time is that God has united us even closer in this time, that the love of God has just become more and more of a reality. And yes, we need to grow in that. But I do believe as we grow in the love of God, I do believe that we go into a season where the new wine and the new wineskin, I've just seen in the preaching and as we've all been preaching, we're not preaching old theology, we're preaching Christ. And for me, that is so encouraging because I believe it's only the Holy Spirit that does that. Paul said, I preach Christ and him crucified. And I want to just say, I've been so stirred is that this living Christ in us, that he's the hope of glory, that he becomes our life. And I want to just say that what we're going to seek after into the season ahead is that in every one of our lives, that the fullness of Christ would be a reality in all our lives. And yes, it comes by revelation. It is a revelation. And we've got to push back on that thing. And as Don encouraged us, we've got to get back into the Word of God. The Word of God and hold on to the Word. I'm not just reading the Word of God. We've got to hold on to this Word. It's God's will for us. And then the Spirit of God comes and brings that fullness. And we allow God to do that. And then also just what's happened that I really believe the anointing has been growing in the life of the church. It's not always something that's broadcast on the newspaper frontage, but the reality, I've just seen God's anointing just increase. I don't know, there are times God is sovereign in pouring out his presence, but God has revealed himself. And just even last week, the presence of God, we cannot buy that. His presence was here in such a real and wonderful way. Also, what's happening, discipleship is growing in the life of the church. We've seen baptisms in the life of the church. People are coming to know the Lord Jesus. There have been people that have come in that have been broken and people that have been poor, and yet God has provided jobs and God has provided provision in a wonderful way. Yeah, incredible. Some of the challenges was with COVID, and there's been a sense of loss of momentum, but the reality is God is working this all for good. We just got to guard against these things that we don't lose our hunger for the lost in the season. We've got to be very careful that we keep running with what God has for us. There's been a challenge. God has been faithful, but financially it's been tough, you know, from the life of a church. We're breaking even, and we've cut costs as much as possible, but it's been tough. You're going through tough times. We're going through tough times, but God is our provider in a wonderful way. Yes, the enemy's put his attacks up. We've seen people get sick in the life of the church. People even die in the life of the church. There's been demonic attack. I don't know if you've experienced that. We have an enemy. He comes to steal, to rob, and destroy, and he's real, and we've got to stand, and we're at spiritual warfare, and those have been real. I cannot say today that I haven't been under attack. I have. You don't even know about it, but there's a reality, and I hope you're praying for us. Praying for us as an elders, because we're in the front. We're the arrow tip at the end of the front, and if the enemy can take me out, he'll take you out. And I'm only as strong as your prayers. And I really, Nikki and I cherish, and the elders cherish your prayers. Please be praying for us. What are some of the opportunities going forward? I really believe we're trusting for new leaders to come through. An outpouring of God's Spirit as we trust Him, allow Him for revival to take place. Some of the challenges but also opportunities is that we've got 1 year and 3 months of lease on this property. What has God got for us? Please be praying to that. I'm very hopeful what God has for us. As an eldership, there has been some tough times. We've had two eldership couples, one relocate, and Arthur and Judy have gone back into being saints in the life of the church. But it's been tough for me and tough for us as a thing. Ivan and Lynn have also, I don't know if you know, Ivan and Lynn, they are away on celebrating the anniversary. Ivan has been sick. I don't know if you've been aware of that. But Ivan has been very sick with prostate and his sugar. He's been hammered. And Ivan has taken a bit of a break. He's still in eldership, but he's not taking up any roles of leading or doing anything at this point in time. So we need to carry him and pray for him at this time, because as I said, we take the brunt of these arrows come against us. Do you know, I remember sitting there with Ivan at the one hospital, and I prayed for him. The devil was trying to kill him. I'm telling you, he was this close to death. Quentin was also close to death. The attacks that actually came. We're not playing games in this thing. But yet God was gracious and brought them back. But we need to continue to pray in that. And that's for all of us at the end of the day. What is happening with Nikki and I, we're just really just sensing with mom and dad relocating to Zimbabwe at the end of January. I don't know if you know about that. God's opened opportunity for mom and dad, Ethel and Judy, to go and live back in Zimbabwe. Big step for them. We'll be praying for them. And then what we're going to be doing, we're going to be selling our house and we're going to be moving here into Lakeside. So please be praying for that. Be praying for our house to be sold at this time. So we're just laying these things before you. So what is the future situation? I really believe God is in control and sovereign. We're going to continue to build life groups, continue to build discipleship. I really do the foundations that Quentin has been doing, continue to bring discipleship. But I really do believe that we had a picture on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. I had a picture of a pistol. And in the magazine, there wasn't a full magazine of bullets. It was only one bullet. And God had only one opportunity to shoot one bullet, which is the Word of God. And I really believe that we've become weak in the Word of God. And the means that I believe that we need to do, I'm going to start, and it's by invitation, I'm going to put an invite on WhatsApp to come and join us on Derek Prince for 10 minutes a day, for 4 days a week, that we actually get washed with the Word of God again. It's up to you to do that. But we've got to get back into the Word of God. We've got to be taught the Word of God. And a Sunday morning, yes, I'm doing my level best. We're doing our level best to teach and to train you. And yes, I'm sure you're doing some other training. But we need to get back, and we need to have a solid foundation of the Word of God. We really, because when I'm dealing with people in that, when I'm speaking to them, their thinking is worldly. They're not holding on to the Word of God anymore. They're not standing by faith anymore. And we can't be to and fro like that. We've got to be standing. And yes, prayer is the thing, but where's the promises of God? Where's the standing of the Word of God again? Where's proclaiming the Word of God again? We've got to get back to some of those things, people. We cannot live as the world being part of the church. God wants to teach us these things, and we want to open up that. And then I really do believe this whole thing, and I know COVID's changing the whole thing, this invite one, bring one, is still in our heart. And I really believe one of the key things that we're going to work it out is hospitality, is actually having people in our homes to draw the people into the kingdom of God. And you all have neighbors. Every single one of you have neighbors. Do you know your neighbors? Have you invited them around for a cup of tea or a cup of coffee and actually just embrace them? And I think we've got to start doing that. Your people at your work, we can't just be so work-focused. We've got to see people in this process. And I really believe as we start to do that, and we'll be talk more about that in the new year, how we're going to grow that. We want to raise and release leaders, and we're going to work hard on that next year. And then also in outreach and training, and we really want to have a marriage encounter to reach out to us as in our marriages, to reach out to marriages into the community. How do we draw people? You know, people that even do not know Christ love their spouses, and they want to have good marriages. And I think we must come alongside them and help them to have good marriages, and then they can find Christ through that. So we're going to be doing that in the new year. And then also there's an outreach that I really do believe is that we've spoken to Steve Wimble about it. They've done a thing called Gifted, and we're going to plan it for obviously in late July or August, where we're going to work and find gifting, natural gifting for us and for the as an outreach to the world, because the world has also been given gift. Those that don't know Christ also been gifted, and to draw that, and we'll work that out and then continue with this aspect of reaching out to our community. And then continue to pray, and we're never going to stop praying. I know it's not about the attendance, but please, let's get praying. Very, very important. What are some of the key words that I believe God's saying to us? It's seek and go. Seek the Lord with all your heart. Seek him, and then go as he gives you instruction. And we're never going to stop seeking the Lord and finding his way. And you'll see in what we're going to be handing out the calendar is that I've put some seeking times that we can find him. So I come to challenge you personally. What is God personally, your purpose in your life at this point in time? It's not just attending church. What is God actually saying to you personally? What is your will? You never, ever retire. Do you know that? We never get slow in this thing. We actually get into a place, Lord, what have you got for me? It's always new every morning. That's what the blessings of the Lord. And I want to encourage you. You've got to be hearing God. And especially this time as you go away, let's run and let's hear what God has actually given your purposes and your vision for your life. It's not just the church, but you individually, God wants to reveal to you. And then let's run as a church together. Run with a corporate anointing. Let's work together. I want to go and discuss the year planner, and I'm going to hand it over. We can ask if some people can actually hand this out. This is all very draft, and this is just our planning that we're looking at the new year. Some of the exciting things. I know it's a calendar, but I just do believe that as we allow God to just put things on paper, we can see God actually work through these things. So as they're handing out, I'm just going to explain to you. So I want to really encourage you on next Sunday, we're doing the carols and worship. We're not doing it in an evening in a park. We're doing it here on a Sunday morning. We're going to worship God through carols. And carols are praise songs to the Lord. So we're going to have a team here. They're practicing hard on that. I want you to invite friends, to invite family. It's for the lost. Invite them, you know, invite them to the Braai, and we're going to really glorify God through that. So we're going to be doing that, and that's going to be a time of celebration. We're going to Braai afterwards, bring in Braai, and let's have some fun together. I just trust that our president doesn't close that all down tonight in his announcement. And then we'll continue to have Sunday morning. Church will close basically down except for Sunday morning, so we'll continue on the 12th and the 19th of December. And then the church office will be closed from the 20th and open up on the 9th of January. What we've decided, I don't know, just God just put in my heart that we will not have an official meeting here on Christmas Day or the day in between on New Year. And on the 9th of January, we'll be doing online. So there'll be two services. Christmas service will be online. So we're going to be pre-recording that so you have freedom to be with your family. If you want to go to another church, be free to go and do that. You're allowed to do that. But we're going to be pre-recording Christmas online. We won't be having a meeting here specifically. Then some of the things, as we look at the calendar, there's some key things that we are doing. We're going to have some focus on prayer and fasting twice during the year. We have some seeking times where we seek God and we hear from him at the end of January and also in July, in August and July. And then through, we're planning to have a men's camp in March. And then the Women of Worth are running through the year. Trusting God to bring apostolic input. There are two opportunities to go to the Great Lakes, and this is not just for me to go there, it's for all of us. Pray about it. We're hoping to go in June, and we're hoping to go in the end of October or October to go and minister into that context again. Such a wonderful opportunity to find God's presence and to meet with other Christians. So what is also happening this next year, God willing, there's going to be the Global Equip where the whole of NCMI get together. We've tried to do it the last 2 years and it hasn't happened because of COVID, but it's planned for October in at Rhema here in Johannesburg for 4 days from the 4th to the 7th of October. I think there's a lot of stuff in there. It's very open, this is very draft, and we're just trusting God to work in this whole thing. So we submit that to you, we submit it to God, and allow him to work through that. Any questions about the calendar? Just remember, it is a draft form. Any questions about where we're going, what we're doing? Before we take some time, I just want to read a scripture to us. Any questions at this time? Okay. While we were at the prayer meeting on Wednesday, I just really, the Lord placed in my heart Genesis 15, and I don't want to read it all, from verses 1 to 11. And God gave a promise to Abram. He wasn't Abraham yet, he was Abram. And about him and his, God is his reward, and your reward is very great, and God will give him blessings. And then the Lord said to him, let's go and cut an animal. And what they used to do, cut an animal in half, and then they used to do covenant, and God wanted to make covenant with Abraham. And God made covenant about the promises that he gave to him. I want to do that with the Lord here this morning as we break bread together, is that we can make covenant with God and just commit 2022, the season ahead of us, as we allow God to be Lord over all that we do. Because remember, it's by grace. It's not by what we can plan. It's not about New Year's resolutions. It's not about the calendar. It's what God is doing as he breaks into this thing. And we just committed to him totally that we cannot be robbed of what God has given us as an inheritance. And as we do that, allow the Lord to fulfill his word and his agreement. It's like when you buy a piece of property, you sign an agreement. It's the same thing in a sense. We're making in the spirit. We sign an agreement with our God. And very clearly in verse 15, of Genesis chapter 50, verse 11, it says, when the birds of prey came down on the carcass, Abraham drove them away. They were vultures. So the devil will try and come and destroy, but we've got to keep chasing away what the Lord is actually wanting to do with us. So I'm going to just read some scripture as before we break bread together. I know it's been a bit rushed this morning. Forgive us for that. But I want to just read to us and just bring us to a point as we come and remember our Lord, we come and remember what he's done for us. And out of that, I'm going to pray and we're going to make covenant with the Lord as we break bread together and remember our Lord. From 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23, for I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the night when he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, also he took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And Jesus is coming back. Isn't that incredible? Jesus is coming back. So, Father, we just commit our time now as we break bread together, as we just still our hearts and we realize, Lord, we must always examine our hearts. As we firstly want to say thank you, and where we've missed it, Mark, and where we have sinned against you, we want to come individually before you, Father, and ask that you would cleanse us from our sin and our unrighteousness. That, Lord, that we can take part of this holy aspect of what you've done for us, the establishing of our lives in Christ, that we found ourselves in the new covenant. So, Lord, as we meet with you and remember you now, may every one of our hearts be warmed, and those that are online, as they break bread together with us, may there just be a special anointing of your presence upon us now, Lord, as we just trust you. And then, Father, as we pray a bit later, we just thank you that you would confirm your word as we make covenant with you. Amen. So if you can just grab the elements, the bread and the juice, and let's do it together as we break bread together. Amen. We've run out of Thank you. Amen. Has everyone got the elements? Lord, we just thank you for these elements that you have blessed them to our body, our bodies, Lord. And we just thank you, your body broken for us. Thank you, this body is for us, and we do this in remembrance, and we eat and we rejoice in what you've done for us, Lord. We couldn't have done it, and we thank you that, as Paul said to the Galatians, we have been crucified with you, and we rejoice in that today, Lord, that we no longer live, but we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So thank you, Lord, for your body broken for us. Let's eat and let's rejoice. This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Lord, thank you for your new covenant, for your blood shed for us. We are so grateful, so thankful. Thank you, Lord. We remember you now. And Father, as we remembered our Lord and our Savior, as we remembered your Son, Father, as you made covenant with Abram in respect of the promises that you had for him, Lord, we thank you for the promises that you have for Church on the Way, for your people that are gathered here in your name. Lord, we recognize that it's not about our own ability, our own strength, but it's by your will and your Spirit. And Father, we just willingly come into covenant with you this morning as we lay down our lives before you, that Lord, will you take our lives and use them to bring glory to your name as we find ourselves in Christ. And as we give ourselves totally to you, Lord, and we make this agreement with you, Father, our lives belong to you. And as we serve you, as we walk with you, we walk in you, may your life be evident through us. And Lord, will you make our way success and prosperous as we give ourselves to you? We see that your nature, Father, is to prosper your people. And Lord, may we be prospered in all that we put our hand to. As we open our mouths, may we declare Christ. And Lord, may you add to our number those that, Lord, have been saved and those that have been come to a reality of knowing you. So take our lives, Lord, and use us as your church as we give ourselves again to you, Lord. Use us, Father, to glorify your name. And Father, we seal this covenant before you in the name of Jesus. We are yours, Lord. Have your way amongst us. This is your people. Use us to glorify you. And I pray, Father, that the nations would be impacted from your people that are gathered here, Lord. And in that agreement that we've made with you, Father, we ask, send your revival. Send your revival, Father. Revive us. Revive our community. Revive our families. Revive this nation. Revive this world, Lord. May there be so much of a blessing and the outpouring of your Spirit that we cannot contain it. So thank you for what you started already, Lord, as we believe, we received, and we give you all the glory now. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you all. Thank you for being very patient. Yes, we have exciting future ahead of us. And I continue to remind people to come to next Sunday. And please don't rush off. There's free cappuccinos for everyone. Just to say a big thank you to all of you for what you've done for the Lord. God bless you all. Thank you so much. Amen.